You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Hi, Troy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Are you having difficulties with your headphones?
Yeah, both of these sets here are only working in one channel.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about that magic.
Never mind. Okay, today we've got some good records coming in.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you that something straight up front about all of these.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we're talking about today is going to be on coloured vinyl.
Woo! I love coloured vinyl.
There you go.
awesome.
So what we're going to do is there's one reissue, fairly recent reissue, one sort of 80s reissue, and brand new one. So you get to choose which one we talk about first.
Let's go with the recently reissued.
All right. Now, in 2010, John Legend got together with The Roots. And they did an entire album together. Well, actually, they did a double album together. And contrary to what they'd both just been doing previously, like, this comes off the back of, what was that album from The Roots in 2010? It would have been How I Got Over. The Roots had done How I Got Over. John Legend had done, I think, the third of his solo records. Now, both of those kind of spoke to the political situation of the time, in that How I Got Over directly addresses the fact that How We Got Over, George Bush. We just finished with George Bush.
Okay.
So, and as you know, that one of the slogans for Barack Obama when he came in was hope, right? So, they got together and they made a hopeful, socially conscious soul record. How do you do that? Well, the easiest way to do it is you find slightly under the radar funk soul classics from the past and you cover them on a double LP.
Cool.
Think it was successful?
I don't know. I've never heard of it, Troy.
Well, I think it won a Grammy.
Yeah. Oh.
The album was called Wake Up. What were the tunes? I mean, they weren't like total soul obscurities that they covered on there. They did Holy Holy, which was a Marvin Gaye tune. They did Compared to What, a Eugene McDaniel song that was made famous in 1970 by Les McCann and Eddie Harris. They did I Can't Write With My Left Hand, which was Bill Withers' Vietnam song. What else was there? Oh, of course, Wake Up Everybody, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. But the one we're going to hear is a Curtis Mayfield song. But Curtis did it in 75, but most people know it from the Baby Huey version, Baby Huey and the Babysitters.
Mm-hmm.
It came out on the Legend of Baby Huey album. The tune is entitled Hard Times, and it kicks off the album. And I think it really sets up the album for what it actually is, which is like sort of quite an exuberant soul protest record.
And have you enjoyed this album?
I love this record when it came out. I've always thought it was a really good one. The Roots, for me, can be hit or miss sometimes. I mean, obviously in the 90s there was that string from Illadelph Half-Life and Things Fall Apart and Phrenology and The Tipping Point, which were just like unbeatable. But post-2000, weirdly enough, most things I would like if a band reaches a point where going, right, we're going to try a whole bunch of other different things completely outside of our comfort zone. Normally I'd like be diving headfirst into that. Sometimes The Roots have made me think, huh? Whole album with Elvis Costello, okay. you know, and their last record, and then you shoot your cousin, which was kind of a strange sort of satire on violence in hip-hop music. But that made me raise my eyebrows a bit. Nonetheless, you know, The Roots have become an institution for doing exactly what they do, which was, you know, they are a big live band, and they're applicable in virtually any situation. What TV show do they do? What's that thing called?
Is that the
Tonight Show
Yeah, the late,
And they could back anybody, basically.
You
could put anyone in front of, you know, say, I'm a singer, and The Roots could back you.
Which is amazing in
Justin
itself.
Justin Bieber and The Roots. I don't know.
That could be really fun.
Anna Renick and The Roots.
Nah. But what about John Legend?
Well, you see, I want to know what you think of him, because you had a terrible look on your face.
No, I mean, I think he has an incredible voice,
mm-hmm.
but I can't say that I've ever really gotten into it, into like his music as a whole. I mean, you know, there's that one track of his which went viral, you know, the one.
No, I don't.
The ballad.
No.
All of me loves all of you.
Okay, when you're working in the R&B idiom, you'll find that your ballads are the ones that have the biggest hits. That doesn't speak to you. That speaks to what an audience likes.
Yeah.
John Legend isn't really a one-dimensional R&B artist, I don't think, which is why he's been very successful, but he's never been a superstar, which I think he totally has the potential to be.
I mean, he's an incredible musician and an incredible vocalist. I can't put him down at all for any of that. I just haven't really, I suppose I haven't explored it. So half of me is coming from
Were you being snobbish? Were you going, everyone likes that?
No,
it must be rubbish.
No, because because there have been times where I've listened to that track and been like, oh, that's nice, but you know, I just haven't explored it.
Okay, well, I think you're going to be surprised by Wake Up, John Legend and the Roots. Not just because... No, you're going to be surprised by it. You're going to be into this. It's released as a double LP on, wait for it, orange vinyl.
Nice.
Yeah. It originally came out on Good Music, I think, or through Columbia, but now this is the OK Player reissue, and that put a lot of care and attention into making this like a double LP that you will want to own.
I am actually really excited to listen to it, so let's get into it.
Hard Times.
Yeah. Oh. So many hard times. Yeah.
Trying to climb up the rough side of the mountain. Friends warned me I'ma have to do it without them. No problem, really, it was never about them. So my house, I never come out from. Cause every day a drought, finish that or without them. I'm down to do whatever if it betters my outcome. The city's like the Autobahn ballroom, waiting on Malcolm. Cause people wanna see my blood flow like fountains. I got nowhere to go and still feel like bouncing. I'm looking for the closest window I can route from, or for the highest speaker box that I can shout from. And I'm hoping to feel like something that's real. But it's no hope when you are but a spoke in the wheel, a brick in the wall, trying to find an opening still, having hard times trying to climb over the hill.
So many hard times, yeah, yeah. See,
sleeping on motel floors. Yeah, yeah. Knocking on my brother's door. Eating Spam Oreos. Drinking Thunderbird, baby. Yeah. In this crazy town. This crazy town, having hard times. There's a love to be found. Having hard times in this crazy town. Having hard times. There's a love to be found. Having hard times in this crazy town. Having hard times. There's a love to be found. Tell Floyd, yeah, yeah, knocking on my brother's door, he is spamming over yours, ringing Thunderbird, baby.
Absolutely amazing track.
With Black Thought, was the other vocalist there, yeah. In case you thought John Legend was sounding like a rapper.
Nope. I didn't think that John Legend was sounding like a rapper. But we were just talking about Questlove.
Yes,
drummer.
Questlove from The Roots. You said, who's your favourite member of The Roots?
Yeah.
Like everyone else, I said Amir Thompson, Questlove. And mostly the reason is he has 75,000 records in his collection.
Which, as Alice was figuring out, being the mathematician in the room, how does somebody have, like,
well, we decided that the thickness is about 5 millimeters. So that's almost 400 meters, 375 meters of like shelf space that you would need to have them.
Yeah, and that's just like going end to end. That's not taking
that's
into account the
in.
Fact that it's like 35 centimeters each way square.
Yeah.
So you've got nearly half a kilometer of records. If you like put them, if you could stack them on, which you don't ever stack records, but if you stack them like on top of each other, it would be nearly half a metre high.
Yeah, almost 400 metres, yeah.
And that's Questlove's record collection.
It's insane.
It's pretty good.
Kudos to you, Questlove.
Wake Up, the album of 2010 album, John Legend and the Roots, is now on double orange vinyl, and it's so limited that the supplier has already sold out of them.
No way.
So we got them in store. But
how many do you have?
Not that many. You'd have to be kind of quick, you know. It's not an unlimited supply.
Yeah, but how many?
I don't know. I counted them yesterday, but I can't remember.
I need numbers.
It's not 75,000, that's for sure. It's like about 5 or something.
I think let's have a little look at Eric Lau now.
All right, now, Eric Lau, has he been to New Zealand? I have a feeling he has.
I don't know. Honestly, I'm only a recent discoverer of his music.
Well, Eric Lau is from London, England, and basically he's a producer, beat maker, producer, whatever. He's done, remember a few weeks ago we did that Yusuf Kamal Black Focus album? Remember that? On First Word Records?
Yeah.
Eric Lau did some of the work on that, did some of the production on that. He's done production with Odyssey, who else? George Rand Muldrow, I think. He did a record with Guilty Simpson once, but he's also done a bunch of, like, other producers will go, here's my new beat tape. Eric Lau conceives them as instrumental albums, right? Even though there's a lot of similarities with a beat tape, you have, like, fairly short tracks, they're quite simple, fairly minimal productions, but do they work as listening to as, like, an instrumental album? Absolutely they do. And this one here is called Examples.
And yeah. I've listened to a little bit of this, actually, before you brought it in.
Mm-hmm. What did you think?
I really liked it. Yeah.
What did you like about it?
I don't know, I felt like there was kind of like a classical aspect to some of the pieces.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. So, and I really enjoyed that, just because, I don't know, I like it when somebody can kind of combine, especially like a DJ producer or a beat maker can kind of still use tools from, like, yeah, a more traditional.
I mean, you know, at the most obvious sort of level you can go, there's a song There's one on here that has a flute, right? There's one on here that has a harp. It's like built around these things, but it's not specifically just using acoustic or classical instruments.
No.
It's the way that, that they're used in the composition.
Yeah.
It's not just like a, oh, I'm gonna stick a beat down and then let's loop the sample of a flute. It's not like that. It's these are composed works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're little pieces.
Did you ask me something else about him before? Oh no, we won't go into that.
I can't remember. You're such a teaser, Joy.
You said, "Is he Asian?"
Yeah,
even
I do.
Though I was holding up a picture of him.
Gosh, Joy, look, maybe I just need to get some glasses. Okay,
okay,
I couldn't see from that distance. That's a terrible printout as well.
Oh, okay. I should have brought the whole LP in. But then you would have been able to see that the vinyl itself is what color?
Anyway, it does. It's
what
yellow.
Color? It's yellow.
Yellow, but it doesn't matter. He's a lovely DJ producer.
Right, Eric Lau Examples, it's on First World Records. We will have it on the shelves tomorrow. I think since these are so short, I reckon we should play a couple of them.
Yeah, I would like to.
And in fact, I mentioned Flute Time, didn't I? Should we play Flute Time, or what do you reckon? Actually, no. Let's start with track 7, Can I Get a Witness?
Righty.
Okay, now this is more of what you would term a traditional approach to doing instrumental hip hop.
People all around, you got to recognize and witness. Now, people all around, you got to recognize and witness. Now, you got to recognize a witness. Thank you.
I thoroughly enjoy that. That gave me a little smile.
Now, there was two tunes we heard there. Obviously, yeah. Harps in Space. You could probably tell where that one started. And the one before that, where? Can I Get It? Where? I don't know. Can I Get a Witness? Both of those from the new 28-track LP.
There's a lot of tracks, but then they're quite short as well. So
yeah, well, it's split nicely to 14 per side. 14 tracks per side. And on yellow vinyl.
Which is lush.
Super limited yellow vinyl. But yeah, Eric Lau, Examples is the name of the record. It's First Words, first release of the new year, and I think it's a really good place to start.
Mm. Cool. Like start for the year or start with that kind of music?
Well, both actually. Yeah. I was thinking start to the year, but I'm guessing if you've just like woken up from a coma after 45 years or something, that this will be quite a good place to start. I don't know.
Awesome. And what's the last artist that we're going to be looking at today?
Well, the last artist is actually two artists.
Oh, cool.
And it comes from a soundtrack to a movie in 1985.
Wow.
Yeah. The movie was entitled The Falcon and the Snowman, and it was some sort of espionage, two guys traitoring, what is that? Two guys' treachery against the United States, selling secrets to Russia. Have I seen it? No, hell no. came out in 85, and the soundtrack was done by a group called the Pat Metheny Group. Now, Pat Metheny was a jazz guitar player, but was really interested in the progression of synthesizers and electronic music into making quite sort of mainstream pop. Metheny is not one of my favorites.
Why not?
I just don't know. But there's only two of his records that I really liked. One he did with Ornette Coleman called Song X, and another one which is called Zero Tolerance for Silence, which is, weirdly enough, it's just all feedback and nastiness and everything. Apparently that one was because he was mad at his record company. But even so, I think those are the two good ones.
Okay.
But even so, he did this. He did the score for The Falcon and the Snowman, and I think it was the director of the movie suggested, you know, this particular cue you keep using here, why don't you turn that into a song? And I know, why don't you ask Dave Bowie to write some words and sing?
And here he comes.
And here he comes. And so what happened was Dave Bowie and Pat Metheny got together and they watched a rough cut of the film, and Bowie wrote the lyrics while watching the film, so they relate pretty much specifically to it. Even the title, This Is Not America, comes from a line in the film. Then he sent the Metheny Group, it's actually only a four-piece group on this soundtrack, he sent them back the demo they'd sent, and he'd like put a lot of different electronic drums on them, as well as rewriting some of the melody of the song. So they got together in the studio to do it, and he says, right, so in all of these parts, this is where you do your backing vocals. Pat Metheny Group said, well, none of us can sing. And David Bowie was like, okay, fine, I'll sing. And so he does all of the vocals on it.
And what do you think about that?
Well, what do I think about the song, or what do I think about that?
Both.
Well, I don't really think about that. I mean, it's like what did I think of the song at the time? You just want me to say what I told you before.
You
at the time, in the 80s, I don't know whether you know this, but there wasn't always a time where David Bowie was great. And in the mid 80s, I remember, along with probably a lot of other people who had liked the more experimental Dave Bowie in the 70s and 1980, was appalled. Things like Dancing in the Street with Mick Jagger, just awful. I couldn't stand Under Pressure with Queen. I didn't even really like the Let's Dance album and the stuff that came after that.
Wow, like, really?
No, it wasn't what I liked about him. And so when the song came out, I just went, oh, yeah, another one of those David Bowie mainstream things. Ugh. But in the time since then, I've actually listened to it, and it's a really well-written song. And beyond that, it's a really well-sung song. It's his vocal performance on this is really quite exceptional, considering it was basically, you know, it could have just been a throwaway for a movie soundtrack. I think that David Bowie always put a great deal of effort into things, even the things that I think are terrible. I'm sure some people like everything, but this one here, Falcon and the Snowman,
I really want to hear it.
Okay.
Should we do it?
We can. It's re-released on vinyl. It'll be on the shelf tomorrow.
This is not
Thank you for bringing that in, Troy. I really
liked
it.
I thought you'd never heard that.
I haven't.
How come you were singing it? Ah, because it's really catchy. That's why, isn't it?
I was like, what? Have I heard it before? No, I haven't heard it before. But yeah, no, it's really good. So that's from
The Falcon Remind and the Snowman. Is the whole score of the movie is done by Pat Metheny Group, and that one there has Mr. David Bowie on it.
Awesome.
It's a pretty cool soundtrack.
And people can get that at Southbound?
Yes, I think that one's white vinyl.
Whoa.
I'm pretty sure. There awesome. Might only be 1,000 of them worldwide, thinking about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So get in there and get it quick.
Yeah, but the thing with coloured vinyl is it's always, people always want it, so it's always limited, and by the time New Zealand gets into the equation, it, you know, it can't, it's not a thing like, oh, hey, I remember you had that that thing on blah, blah, blah. I saw it here about 6 weeks ago. Yeah, about 6 weeks ago.
Awesome.
These
well,
things
think-
go quick.
Thank you, Troy, for coming in, and we'll see you next week.
Probably will.
Most definitely will.
Bye.
Bye.
From the Crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.